ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Anna, and with me are my vibrant and colorful friends, Faith and Joy.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
We will be your hosts for this episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well this game would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Hues and Cues, designed by Scott Brady. Artwork is uncredited and published by The Op Games.
Hues and Cues is a 3 to 10 player, colorful communication and deduction game. Players attempt to make connections by using one or two word clues to identify the correct color. It might sound pretty easy, but you are limited on what you can share. And the board consists of 480 unique color shades. Does this game connect with us, or does it cause us to turn into a dark shade of gloom? Find out as we discuss.
All right, so Faith and Joy, before we get started talking about this game, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Actually, two questions.
What are they?
But they relate to each other. What is your favorite color?
My favorite color is like a light pink.
Okay. And Faith?
I like kind of like a skyish ocean blue.
Oh, okay. Well, you already answered the second part of my question. The second part of my question was going to be, where do you see your color? So you said...
skyish ocean.
Kind of in the sky and in the ocean,
yeah,
is where you see your favorite
kinda
color?
Kind of like a really bright ocean,
okay,
and like a really clear sky.
Nice. Okay. Joy, where do you see your color that's your favorite?
Like in sunsets.
Oh, okay. Light pink in a sunset?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite color is also in a sunset.
What is it?
My favorite color is orange. And I think I like the a little bit lighter, a little bit yellowy orange, because whenever I see a very orange sunset, I always look at it and I think, oh, that's my favorite color. Or sometimes even when I see very nice ripe carrots, I look at them and I think, oh, that's such a beautiful color.
Yeah, I get it. Orange is in a lot of popular sunsets.
That's right.
Sunsets.
That's right. And I like your favorite color too, both of yours. They're beautiful.
Yours is too.
Well, it's important that we know how to link colors to things that we know and see, because that's a little bit of what this game is about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit how to play this game, Faith?
Hues and Cues is a social deduction clue-giving game where one person will give hints about a certain color hue and other players will guess which color they are referencing. When it is your turn to give the clues, you will draw a card with four different color options on it. You'll find the hues on a large grid with rows from A to P and columns numbered with 1 to 30. Choosing one of the four hues, you will give a one-word clue that relates to the color to help other players guess. You may not give a word that is a color, area of the board, something visible, or a clue given previously in the game. Then players go clockwise and place their guess token on the color they think the clue references. Once everyone has a chance to guess, you have a choice. You can end the round and go on to scoring, or choose to give another one or two word clue and get more people to guess the color. If you give a second clue, guessing then goes around counterclockwise as players placed a second guessing token. After the second round of guessing, you will place a 3x3 box on the board with your color in the center. Anyone who guessed your color exactly gets 3 points. Those one away get 2 points, and those two away get 1 point. you get a point for anyone who guesses exactly, or one away. Then it is the next player's turn to give clues. Play continues until one player reaches 30 on the score track, or whenever you decide to be done. Let's head back over to the table and discuss.
All right, girls, well, let's discuss this game. So first, I know we said that the artwork was uncredited. Maybe Scott Brady himself helped with some of the artwork. We don't know. But what did you guys think about the design of this board and the artwork?
As mentioned, there are 480 colors on the whole board. And I really, really like how they blend together.
Yeah, I like that too, because they could have arranged all of the colors in very random patterns, but the way they did it is they blend in and out of the darker and lighter shades and even from one color to the next, almost like a rainbow. So it looks really pretty. In fact, the whole board is pretty much comprised of the little bitty squares all the way up and down in this grid and a score track at the top, and that's the entirety of your board.
I also really like the design of the cards because it gives you more options to choose from instead of just two options, because there's four options on the card, as mentioned.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I liked that there were four options on the cards as well, especially as we went further into the game. There were some colors that were very similar to another color, and I just couldn't think of a clue that hadn't already been given. And remember, that's part of the rules is you can't give clues that have already been given. So I remember one time I drew something that just had a beautiful purple on there, but Joy had already given the clue of grapes. And what else did you do?
I think she did like sunset or something.
And I also did like sunset.
Yeah, or deep ocean. I don't know. There was a lot of clues that had to do with this purplish blue color I had that you had already given. And I couldn't think of any other words to describe that purple color. So I was very grateful that there were three other options on the cards and I could choose a color that hadn't had so many clues given about it already.
So you're thankful that there's four options on the card?
I am. I think that it makes for a little bit of strategy in the game for me. What do you feel like about the artwork, Joy?
I like how the square's designed for the points.
Oh, yeah.
As at the first, we said the points. But so in the board, there's the numbers on the top and the bottom, and then the letters on the sides.
Okay.
So I like how that's done. So then you can find the number on the card, and then you can go all the way down to find the letter. For example, I have a card here, and it says F15. So I would find 15, and then I would find F. And I would find 15, and then I would go all the way down until it was touching F. And then I would give a clue that was like that color. So it helps me find out what's on the board instead of just giving my color away.
That's true. Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying that you really like how the board is arranged and it's organized very well.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Well, let's talk about some of the mechanics of this game. It's a pretty simple game. You give a clue, you place your clue tokens, and then you score at the end. But are there any things that stood out to you that you felt like were really well designed about how the game plays?
I really like scoreboard because I remember one time we got out the game and I ran to go get a pencil and paper because we had to keep score. And then you said, wait a sec, no, we're gonna keep scoring the scoreboard right here. And I said, oh, because I had forgotten all about the scoreboard.
And you'd even played this game before, but you had forgotten that you keep score on the same board where all of the clues are, which is kind of nice. And even the scoreboard is artistically arranged because it doesn't have colors like the regular grid, but it's arranged in different grayscale pieces, which is kind of fun and goes with the theme of the game.
It's also numbered by fives, and I really like that because going back to our rules, it kind of, as I said earlier, you may choose to choose any number that you guys are going to stop at, or you can just go from 5 to, or you can just go from 0 to 30. And I think that's actually kind of set up for those kind of rules. And I think that that looks kind of cool.
That makes sense. So you're saying that because it's numbered every 5, you could choose, if you only had a little bit of time, you could say, hey, let's just play to 15 or just 10 this time. Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Joy, is there a mechanic in the game that you really enjoy?
I really like giving the clues because one time it was a really hard decision for me. I had gotten a card and all the colors weren't as pretty as this one purple. It was really dark. It was like in the 27 or 26 and it was really dark. So then I said violet or grapes, I don't know which one, but I said one of them and everybody just started doing it in the 30s. So then I did a second round, which was sunset, and people got a little bit closer, but it was more pinkish. So then I placed the scoreboard and we didn't get any points that round because they're so far away from the scoreboard. Not even one was outside it. So that was a really hard decision for me.
Yeah, and that is a good, interesting mechanic of the game because if you just look at the picture on the card, sometimes you can think, oh, that's purple, and you can say violet or grapes. But then people who are looking at the board are looking at all the different shades of the purple, and they may find something that looks more violet or grapes than what you did. I had something like that too, where on the card, my color looked gray. So I said overcast, like it was cloudy. But then on the board, everybody thought that the color looked kind of greenish because it was right at the edge of the green. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. You've got to look at the colors that are around it and think, is my clue going to be about this color and going to steer them away from some of the other colors that they might accidentally guess?
I said wrong. I like figuring out other clues because that was the only time that was really hard for me. I enjoyed the game. I mean, like, it's a nice game. It's just the giving clues is really hard. So as you said, it was really hard for you because I already said grapes, but you had a color that was like my color.
Yeah, yeah. And so sometimes it can be hard to think about clues that haven't been given yet. Yeah.
It was also really hard for you too.
It was. Thank you for making that hard for me. I probably got you more points.
I also really like how there are different pieces, but they're numbered 1 to 10 because it can have 1 to 10 players, as it said in the rules, where it's 3 to 10. And I think I really, really like that because actually, if you have, like, we have, like, 5 people in our family, and I'm glad that everybody can play this because it's, like, for all ages, and it's, like, a 3 to 10 player game. So I really like that because if you have a lot of people in your family, then it's kind of, like, big time, like, a really good game.
Yeah, and we haven't played up to 10. I think the most we've played is up to 6, and we've played some with fewer, like, 3 or 4. So do you think you like it with more players or less players?
More players makes it more challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Joy? Do you think you like it with more players or less players?
Less players, because then it makes it easier, but not as challenging. So I agree with Faith. It's easier when there's less players, but it's more challenging when there's more players. So I'm kind of like in the middle of both of them, like 5 or 4 people, like 5 people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we played a game that had maybe 6 people in it, and that was really fun because there were so many pieces on the board. You started scoring points really fast, but it also took a really long time to get back to my turn. and for me to be able to give the clues. So that felt like it took longer. But then we played a game that was only, I don't remember, there was only three or four people. And I remember feeling like, man, if one person guesses my clue wrong, a lot of times then the other people get influenced by whoever lays down the first clue. And they think, oh yeah, that's a good idea, because they don't want to be the one that's going giving a different opinion. So if one person gets the clue wrong, then sometimes you don't get any points for the whole round because other people kind of follow that first person. So that's kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you girls, maybe you could give our listeners some good ideas of what good clues or bad clues might be like, because that's another thing that I know you learned as we were doing this game.
So like as like a dark purple or a dark blue, for the dark blue, maybe like night sky. And then for the dark purple or pink, like sunset or like that.
Yeah. So it helps if you say clues that other people have seen, right? Although I remember one time, Joy, I gave the clue of night sky. I guess that must have been my second clue because it's two of them. And you guessed something that was a lot lighter than what I was meaning for people to guess. And I realized, oh man, we live so close to a city that whenever Joy goes out and looks at the night sky, it probably does look like a light purplish blue. But in my mind, I was thinking the night sky was a super dark blue. So you've got to think about what other people have seen before you say your words, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Faith? You had some interesting experiments with saying good and bad clues. Any tips for our listeners?
So I remember one time as a bad clue that you might want to not do is that I said bright as my first one clue. And literally everybody went to yellow.
But you weren't meaning yellow?
Nope.
You're meaning a different bright color?
Uh-huh. I meant like, I can't remember, like a light blue or something.
Oh, okay.
And then I finally said like bright ocean.
Yeah.
And so you weren't allowed to do that because you're not allowed to say lighter or darker or dark or light. You're not allowed to say that. So a few rounds after that, I gave a clue that was dark. And then since Faith didn't get to do it, I didn't get to do it. So I had to think of another clue after another.
That's true. For the second round, when you're giving your second clue, it does say in the rules you're not allowed to say lighter or darker. So basically telling people to go lighter or darker. And so when we would say things like light sky or whatever, we kind of changed it, right? I think we changed yours to bright sky or something like that, right, Faith?
Uh-huh.
But that's a good thing to be aware of when you're giving clues.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good reason to have your second round clue as well. Because if they get it wrong the first time, your second round clue can inch them over in the right direction. When might be a strategic time to not give a second round of clues? Because you can choose to stop after the first round.
It might be a good idea to stop if you're like, because if you want to get like a lot of points, but you don't want people to get more than you, you might want to say just a one word clue or just stop before your second round. Because maybe if they're like super duper close, like one square away, and everybody's like super duper close, you might just want to say, okay, I'm done, and just place the box down and get your points and they get theirs.
Yeah, because sometimes if you get a second round of guessing, your opponents could get more points than you. So if they've already guessed a lot, if they've already guessed every single square in your box, then, I mean, you definitely should stop because you can't even get any more points, right? Or even if they guessed a lot, then you should stop so they don't get any more points, right?
Yeah, because if you give a two-word clue when they're like one square away, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's right here, and place it right in the middle of your square.
Yeah, yeah, good point. So is there anything that you felt like didn't work as well about this game? I can think of maybe two things that didn't work as well, but I'm curious what you guys could think of.
What can you think of?
Well, can you think of anything that didn't work as well?
No, I think it worked of everything.
Okay. How about you, Joy? Anything that you felt like didn't work as well with this game?
That one time when I was in a difficult situation.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes you draw a card and the colors are all very different. You have all these choices. And sometimes you draw a card and they're all three different shades of blue. And you don't feel like you have as much of a choice. And that makes it harder, huh?
Like, so one's pink, one's a darker pink, and then we're just going into darker, darker, darker pink until all four are just light, medium, medium, dark pink.
Yeah, and it doesn't give you as many choices. Two things that I felt like didn't work as well about this game is, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I drew a color that was in the middle of the board, I had a hard time just with my eyes following the grid all the way to the middle of the board. And I think you guys did too, because I remember at least two times that you said, all right, I can't even find this. Just everybody shut your eyes so I can use my fingers to find it on the grid. And we did that, even though you're supposed to just use your eyes. But I think all of us had trouble. I remember one time I couldn't even place the square in the right place. I placed it down and I was like, oh no, wait, that's not the right place. And I had to take both my fingers to find the right spot. So that was something that was a little bit hard for me, was to find the exact right square just with falling with my eyes.
The first two rounds, I just did it with my eyes. And then the third round, I was like, oh yeah, everybody close your eyes because I just need to find this with my fingers. Yeah. And then it was super hard. It was like F22.
Right, yeah. And then the other thing that I think didn't work as well about this game is that sometimes, and the game didn't say what to do about this, so we kind of had to make up our own rules, but sometimes we did have clues that weren't within the rules. So we had somebody give a clue in a different language one time, and that wasn't in the rules. And we had somebody give the clue where you said light something or dark something. And it's interesting because if you give a clue that's not in the rules and then you change it, then technically you still have the clue that was against the rules. And so I wasn't really sure what to do about that. And that wasn't specified in the rules. So that was kind of an interesting dilemma. And obviously, since we're just playing with our family, we kind of just said, oh, nope, you can't do that. Try again. Or, oh, hey, that was three words. You have to pick one word. Try again. But then it did kind of give more hints, even though you broke the rules. So that was an interesting thing to have to deal with too. But I guess when you're doing a little communication social deduction game, maybe you don't worry so much about those little details in the
you
rules.
You maybe haven't met her, but in this game, I was on a team with our little sister, Hope.
That's right. Well, and that's a really good point, Joy, because that was something that I was going to bring up too. So the game says that it's for 8 and older, but obviously, Joy, you're 6, and I think that you didn't really have any trouble playing this game, did you?
Yeah.
And you played on a team with your little sister, Hope, who's 4, because we were thinking that maybe she would have trouble. But to be honest, she didn't really have a lot of trouble either. You guys kind of split the team 50-50. She would sometimes guess the hint. You would sometimes guess the hint. She would sometimes give the clue. You would sometimes give the clue. And even at 4 years old, she played the game pretty okay, didn't she?
She did great with my help, of course.
Yeah. Did you have to help her find things on the grid or come up with ideas? Or how did you help her?
We gave clues together because there's like these triangle things that look like pyramids with a round bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's two of those.
I think they're called cones when they have a round bottom.
So we place cones and we have two. So we each do one. And then I always say, hey, Hope, can I place the first one? Because I know what most of these things are and you don't because you're only 4. She was like, no, I want to place the first one. I don't want to copy you. Because she had to copy me. Otherwise, she would do it like, it was in purple and she would do it in yellow like that. But then every time I just went first. Sometimes I copied her, sometimes she copied me. Most of the time she copied me. And every time she didn't go in yellow unless when Faith said bright and everybody went in yellow.
So it sounds like what you're saying is probably a 4-year-old couldn't play this game without help.
Yeah.
But did you feel okay playing this game without help as a 6-year-old?
Yeah.
And even helping a four-year-old, you still felt okay, huh?
Yeah.
Faith, how did you feel like playing this game as an eight-year-old, which is technically the lowest in that they recommend on the game box?
I felt amazing.
Very good.
Because I'm very smart.
There you go. I think both of you are very smart. And we've played this game with kids and adults all mixed together, and it didn't feel like the adults were having to cater to the kids. It didn't feel like we had to change a lot. There is an extra rule in the rule book that says when playing with younger children, instead of having them pick a card and having to pick from those four colors, they can just pick any color on the board and give a clue about that instead. And we played a couple of games the regular way and then discussed using that alternative rule and didn't really feel like we needed to because all of you guys did fine just with the regular rules.
Even though Faith was on her own team, she still did really good, even though she was on the lowest price of playing.
That's right. That's right.
I think that Hope and Joy did pretty good. And I think Hope did amazing for a four-year-old, and I'm twice her age.
That's right. I think so, too. And I think it's a real testament to the game that we can play with all different ages, and it still feels fair, right? Because we played with kids and adults and even older adults, and it all still felt fair, didn't it?
We even played with Aunt Sarah's mom.
We did play with Aunt Sarah's mom, who's a grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any other final thought? In my opinion, it is a fun game. The whole family can play it. I think it's fun to have a light strategy where you can be giving clues. You've got to do your best with guessing and with giving clues. But it doesn't have a lot of heavy strategy that you've got to carry throughout the whole game that you've got to stay really focused on. So it can be a good social game as well as a deduction game. What are y'all's final thoughts on it?
You said that one person said like a different language clue. And what was that language like? What was that language?
He said naranja, which means the fruit orange in Spanish, because if you say the fruit orange in English, it also means the color orange. So technically it's against the rules. And I don't know if that's allowed or not, but that's what happened. What were your final thoughts, Faith?
My final thoughts were, I think that this is a great family game. And if you have younger kids, it is a great game, too, mm-hmm. to teach your little ones their colors.
That's right. There's some good grid finding and color identification and linking with this game. I'll also say I think it's a good game for people that maybe aren't as much into big gamer strategy games. We've played with a variety of people of different gaming backgrounds, and everybody liked it. And some people were even kind of surprised that they liked it. So that's kind of a testament to the game as well. You can play it even with people that aren't hardcore gamers and still have fun. Well, let's give our grades. Who wants to go first?
I do.
Go for it. What would you grade this game, Faith?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
Love it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Want to play it every day?
Yeah.
With all your friends and your grandparents and your aunts and uncles?
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Joy?
You can go next.
Ooh, okay. Well, I think I would have to give this game also two thumbs up. I think if you put it in its category of a kind of social deduction game and recognize that it's not going to be a heavy strategy game, that it's going to be a game about giving clues and guessing colors, I think it does an excellent job of that. There's light strategy. Everybody can enjoy it. And I think two thumbs up for me as well. How about you, Joy?
I give it one thumb up because I like it. It's just, I don't think it's the game I want to play every day.
Okay.
And I like it. I mean, it's a good game. It's not my favorite.
Well, that's really good because we want to help people decide if this is a good game for them to buy for their houses and for their tables. And so hopefully we've done that for you all today.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, all right. Well, we're going to wrap up now. So if any of you listeners have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on this game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. And if you don't like socials, you know, that's cool. I get it. Instead, you can check out our website, at thegametablepodcast.com or shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BGG. All of these links are also in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder, who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistlin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we drop a very special holiday episode that you will not want to miss. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays!
And Merry Christmas,
everybody.
God bless us, everyone.
Bye-bye.